my son was, when he was looked over at me, especially for praise service, he said, the time, he just cut all ties. I said, yep, let me, you know, time to cut off. He just, his head went down in sadness. But I thought it was ironic because that's the thought that we wanted to share with the saints on this morning, making time for Jesus. Making time for Jesus. Now, when you look at the concept of making time for Jesus, it's centered around the concept of priorities. Priorities are facts or conditions that are in your life that are regarded as or treated as something that is more important than something else. So when you say something is a priority, you're saying that this fact or this condition in your life is more important than other things. And that's what a priority means. So when you're talking about making time for Jesus, we have to condition our minds to think or to understand that Jesus has to be a priority. In other words, regardless of what goes on in our life, and there are many, many things that go on in our lives, but we have to say this Jesus is more important than any of these other things. Not saying that these other things don't have value, but when it comes down to what is more important, I say Jesus is more important than all of these other things. And I have to go through my life and carve out time to make sure that I prioritize Jesus above my stuff, the issues that go on in my life. Now, this is what the world says concerning time. It says if you want to be successful, you have to learn how to manage your time so that you can achieve your goals. It says managing your time means that you spend time on your priorities. And it also means that you do not waste time on non-priorities. So you got to remember, time can be wasted on things that are not priorities. And when it comes down to what is most important, that has to be pushed above the non-priorities. Okay? Another educational site said that they used to say there are three main three rules to effectively manage time. The first rule was don't create impossible situations. In other words, don't get yourself in something that is not going to support what it is that you're trying to achieve. The next one, two, says define your priorities. Or in other words, you can only say within yourself what is more important to me. I can say, tell you what's more important to me, you know, but I can't define priorities for you. That's only something that you can do. And the third thing is really what the missionaries touched on Sunday. It said avoid distractions because distractions basically sidetrack you. They don't allow you to reach your goal. They only make achieving your goal longer. They only cause you to procrastinate the thing, okay? So when we look at time management, when we look at making time for Jesus, I should say, why should getting closer to Jesus be important, especially now? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Ephesians chapter number 5 and 16. And when we look at these scriptures, we want to look at the why. Why is it important for me to get closer to Jesus? Why is it important for me to get close to Jesus? Someone else get John 12:35. So the first one is Ephesians 5 and 16. And the next one is John 12:35. All right. Ephesians 5:16. What does that say?
Because the days are evil.
All right, so that's a why, right? Why is it important for me to get close to Jesus? The writer just simply says because the days that we're living in are what?
Evil.
Right. These days that you and I live in right now are evil. You look at it, Brother Jones, I think, was reminding us today on the way over to the church, saying about some other people had got shot, and a little child got hit by a car yesterday. And these days are what? They're reminders. They're reminders. They're all around you. These days that we are living in are what? Evil. Okay? I know the weather outside may look nice. It's nice, sunny, and hot. And people will go outside and say, oh, it's such a beautiful day. But Jesus is reminding you about the days that you and I are living in. These days, according to the scripture, are what? Are evil. All right? Don't you forget it. All right? John chapter number 12 and 35. Why is it important to get close to Jesus now? All right? What's 12 and 35 say? All right. How long is the light going to be with me? Just a little while. Okay. Keep going.
But while you have the light, let darkness come upon you.
Yep.
For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether
he go. Now I can truly say that the world is walking in darkness because they don't know where they're going. And you and I have to consider ourselves as privileged. Because what did Jesus do? He called me out of the darkness. He called me out of the darkness into the what? The marvelous light. And he told me, yet a little while, the light is with me. Right? And he said, when you got that light, what I need to do with it? I need to walk in it. I need, in other words, as the Lord is showing me a path to get closer to him, I need to do what? Walk in that light. Don't delay. Don't say, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. No. I need to learn how to do what? Manage my time. I need to make time for Jesus in my life. I need to take advantage of all of the opportunities that the Lord have given me so that I can get closer to him. Okay? The next one, 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, I believe. 7 and verse number 29. And then someone else go over to James 4 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, 29, and we're going to go down to verse number 31.
7:29 reads, but this I say, brethren, the time is short.
Why do I have to get close to Jesus? Because the time is short. You all should have a list. First one told me the days were evil, right? The second one told me that I only have the light for a little while, right? I only have the light for a little while. If I'm not careful, darkness is going to creep up on me. Darkness would be death. Death is going to creep up on me, right? And when death creeps up on me, I want to at least die in the light. I don't want to die in darkness. I want to die in the light. You don't want to stop breathing in the darkness. You want to stop breathing in the light. Jesus told you to walk in the light as he is in the light, right? Now this next one, the next point in 1 Corinthians 7:29 says what?
7:29. Oh, it says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short.
The time is short. Mm-hmm. Look at your life. Look how old you are. Yeah. You can really say that. If you look over your life right now, you'll be shocked to know you've been on this earth the number of years you've been on here. But it is a reminder to you to let you know that the time is short.
Right.
Many of us, we don't have what's behind us in front of us. You understand what I'm saying? You know, however old you are, that's behind you. You ain't got that time in front of you. So your time is what? It's short. Right? Right? You truth be told, you be honest with yourself. You don't have what's in front of you behind you. All that's in front of you, it still is a question mark. Because you don't know when the Lord is going to call you. But he's telling you to take advantage of the time. Don't let the days keep falling away from you. And you haven't made no time for Jesus. If you're not careful, that devil will make you use time murmuring and complaining. He'll make you use the day that the Lord has given you, which is a day of salvation. He'll make you use that day to find something to murmur and complain about. When you realize, I don't have time to murmur and complain. The times are too short. The days are full of evil. I'm only going to have a light for a little while, right? That's right. Read the rest of 29:30-31. This writer is letting us know something. He's saying, I'm trying to tell you, I'm not discrediting marriage. I'm not telling you it's not important to be married. But I'm telling you, when you get closer to death, when you get closer to leaving this earth, it don't matter who your wife is. It don't matter who your husband is. All you concerned with is let my soul be right. That's the truth, saints. So as you see the days getting closer to the coming of the Lord, look what the scripture says. It's time for you to, those that have wives, act like you don't even have one. In other words, get closer to the Lord Jesus. That's what the writer's trying to tell you. He's basically saying, get closer to the Lord Jesus. Don't let anything separate you from the Lord. Come on, that's the truth, saints. Don't let nothing separate you from Jesus. Why? Because you came into this world naked and you're going to leave naked. You came in here by yourselves and you're going to leave by yourselves. You could have 80 children. That's a whole lot of kids, isn't it? You can have 80 kids, but you're going to die by yourself. And those 80 kids are going to be on the earth without you. Just like you brought them in the earth by yourself, you're going to leave by yourself, right? That's the truth, saints. Read a little bit more. Those that got wives, be like you don't even have them. Yes.
All right. And they that weep as though they wept not.
Isn't that the truth? In other words, you can't get caught up in feeling sorry. You can't get caught up in this, the pain. Yeah. You can't get caught up in what's causing you to cry.
Yeah.
You got to move on. Yeah. You got to move on. You don't want to waste time.
Yeah.
That's basically what the writer is trying to tell you. You don't want to waste time crying. I'm not saying that whatever you're crying about is not sad, but get sad and move on. Don't waste time in your sorrow, for you know you'll be crying all day long, and all day long will be gone, right? And the thing you're crying about, it hasn't changed. It hasn't moved on. You say, I'm crying because I lost a loved one. Whether you when you stop crying, that loved one's still going to be gone. You say, I cried all day long because this person was so important to me. Well, the next day, they still going to be gone. And you can waste time crying about that person, but it's not going to bring them back. In other words, you need to do what? Move on. You need to manage your time. You need to make some time for Jesus. What should I say? Lord Jesus, you see me crying? Wipe the tears from my eyes, Lord Jesus. Change this sorrow into gladness. Please don't let my heart be overtaken in this emotion that will cause me to do what? Waste time, right? That's the truth. Read a little bit more.
And they that rejoice as though they
Yeah, just because you got that car. I know, I see it. Sometimes people be on that lot. They get that car, they walking out with the keys in their hand.
Yeah.
They be so happy rejoicing because they got that car. It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling, but honey, you got to pay for it.
Right.
Huh? You got to pay for it. You got to pay for it. You got to keep it up.
Right.
Yes, right. It's maintenance to go along with it.
Right.
It's a good feeling when you get it, but don't waste time.
Right.
Don't waste time and energy when you lose sight of the reality.
Right.
With these blessings comes an obligation.
Right.
Huh? What about us? When we went to go sign the papers, you know, Deke was over there with me. You know, we went to go sign the papers for this building. It was a day of rejoicing, but little did we know all the heartaches that were going to go along with it. Huh? Look, all the pain that was going to go along with it. You know, at least we didn't have to go up on Wallace Street, that roof like that. Every time you turn around, we got to get up on this roof. Every time you turn around, I never thought in my life that I'd get sick of seeing trees. But every time a leaf falls, it falls where I don't want it to fall in. And somebody got to deal with it, right? That's the truth. But I can't waste time. Now, I can't be stuck saying, oh, Dick, we got the keys. Happy, happy, we got the keys. Lord said, you got to move on, brother. You got to take care of this. Right? You got to take care of this. It's just like a mother when a mother brings forth a child into the world. She'd be looking at that baby, oh, she's so cute. So cute, but that baby is quick to remind you, I'm hungry. Huh? I'm hungry. And all that mother feels like is a machine. I say, a milk-producing machine. Say, when will you get tired, right? When do you go to bed? When do you give me a break? But what happened to all of that is so pretty, so cute, right? That baby is there to remind you. Keep moving, right? Keep moving, right? Read a little bit more. Yes, that's the truth. That's the truth. You can't get caught up in what you have, saints. Because the minute you get it, it's the minute you can lose it. That's the truth. The minute you get that paycheck, the minute you lose it. It's nice to feel it in the bank. It's nice to see that plus sign. Huh? It's nice to see that green number in the bank. That plus sign is real pretty. But then that bill to come and just snatch that green right on down. Right? And if you're not careful, you'll get real sad. Real sad. You say, why do I even bother to go to work? Because the more I work, the more I have to spend, right? But I'm telling you, in all of these encounters, don't lose sight of what's important. You got to make room and make time for Jesus. Jesus is more important than all of that that goes in. Jesus is more important than all of the things that you possess. It was amazing. You know, all of the shoes Sister Singleton had left over. And that wasn't even all of them. But, just big old totes, shoes, this there. And here, she's not even around anymore. She can't say who she want this shoe to go to or not. Right? Come on, think about the logic. All of these possessions, all of these shoes, look at it. What was more important? What was more important? Her soul. Why? Because the shoes stayed right here. Shoes stayed right here. The clothes stayed right here. And the people are out there trying to figure out who's going to get what. Who's going to get what? And people say, oh, I don't want it. I don't want it. Well, where is it going to go? Take it over to Goodwill. Take it over to Goodwill. But if you look at that person look back and say, I worked hard for this stuff. And you mean to tell me it's not important? It has no value. That's how they, if they do that about other folk things, what you think they going to do about your stuff? Huh? I know you might like how it look on you, but the next fella don't want it. The next fella's not interested in it. And they're going to get rid of it just as quick as it comes into their hand. That's the truth. My wife, all her pretty clothes, I can't wear them. I can't wear near one of them. So what am I going to do with them? Huh? I'd be a fool to sit up there and let them clothes just sit up in the closet. Huh? What am I going to do with them? Right? And then the minute I try to go give it to somebody else, first thing come out, I don't want to buy dead clothes. I don't want to buy clothes that look like that. I don't want that. Say, Kirsten, why don't you wear? I don't want that. No. I don't want that. I don't want that. Why? Because every time I put it on, I'm going to think about mine. I don't want that. I don't want nothing to do with it. Right? Where do you think it's going to go at? Huh? Ain't much left. Either trash or the Goodwill, ain't much left. Huh? So if that's letting you know it's important to you, but the next fella, it don't mean nothing to. So therefore, if it ain't that important to them, it ought not to be that important to you. Right? It's got to be something that's more important in life than these things that we possess. Therefore, the writer says, those that possess things act like you don't even possess it. Therefore, your heart won't be broken if you lose it. Huh? Or if it get damaged, your heart won't be broke. You just be willing to say, oh, I just got to let it go. You got to have that mind like Job say. Job say, the Lord give it and the Lord have taken away. Huh? In other words, the Lord is more important. Job was letting his wife know that Jesus was more of a priority than these possessions that I have. Huh? As his wife didn't understand, his wife told him, you ought to just curse God and just die. Fella lose all this stuff like that so quick, he ain't got nothing worth living for. In her mind, that's what she said. Yeah. Oh, you lose all this stuff so quick, you ain't got nothing worth living. You might as well just curse God and drop dead. Job should have looked at her and said, what you going to do when I die? What are you going to do when I die? You going to cry for a moment, but are you trying to go find Charlie? Are you trying to go find Bill? Huh? You trying to go grab somebody that got what I had? Huh? Come on, saints. That's the truth. That's about the size of it. You waste your time and waste your energy. You be sitting there thinking this person going to be there sorrowing over you for the rest of their life. No, they not. They're going to move on. They're going to move on to somebody else, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Here's what let you know, they better not be a priority. That's why the writer told you in the beginning that those that got wives act like you don't even have none. Right? In other words, don't even lose sleep over it. Huh? Don't even lose sleep over it. You're going to lose sleep over anything. It should be the condition of your soul. Where will my soul be? Where will my soul be at when I stop breathing? When I stop moving, where will my soul be at? When I stop breathing in this body, where will my soul be at? Huh? Come on, saints, that's something to think about. Something to think about. So I guarantee you, all them folk that died on last night, they weren't thinking about it. But you have another day that the Lord has woke you up. Another day to get your mind straight, to get your priorities straight, to get your focus back on track. Say, what am I here on this earth for? You're just here to get your soul right. Get your soul right and keep it right. Keep it on track. Keep it on. Keep it focused on what the goal is. What is the goal of the soul? That I might live. That's what David said. Lord, let my soul live. That I might live. That's all I want. I just want my soul to live, right? I want my soul to escape hell's fire. That's really what you were talking about, sister. When you talk about your brother had this sickness come on you. Reality in life. Real quick. Because all you hear about this virus doing is killing. All you hear every time somebody gets this virus is somebody's dying. That was a reality check real quick to let you know none of this stuff matters. That house over there, it does not matter. That car, the people, the family, it does not matter. Why? Because as quick as you get it today, it can be taken away from you. But then the question is, where will your soul be at? Right? Where will your soul be at?
That's it. Thank you, Jesus.
People ask you all day long, say, you ain't got to pray like that. You're forgetting. The prayer takes care of my soul. The reading the word of God, it takes care of my soul. I get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to take care of my soul, right? I come to church so that I can feed my soul, right? Not your body. Not your body.
Jesus.
Body don't want to do none of this.
No.
Body tells you, don't be bothered with this. Body says, no, you ain't got to do all that. But your soul, what does your soul feel when you come into the presence of Jesus? How does your soul feel? My soul feels calm. My soul feels at peace. Sin is not overtaking me. But honey, you leave out here, sin start attacking your mind. Start attacking your mind. Before even you start crossing over the door, the devil's sin starts attacking your mind. Things always on you. Trying to bring your mind into captivity. This is why I'm trying to tell you, you need to get closer to the Lord. These days we living in are evil, saints. They're evil. The time is letting us know every day the Lord wakes us up, we get a reminder on that news to tell you time is too short. Time is too short to be playing games, right? Time is too short to be playing games. Too many people go to the grave with regret. They're not ready. Average person that leaves this earth is not ready. They ain't ready to leave. They're not ready to go out. They may say, oh, yes, I am. I got all my business straight out. But your soul ain't right. Your soul ain't right. If your soul ain't right, you're not ready to go. I don't care who you gave your stuff to. I don't care what kind of policies you got. I don't care what you laid out for your family. If your soul is not right, you ain't ready to get out of here. Why? Because all that you left, the people going to be enjoying it. But where will you be at? That rich man said, my soul is being tormented. I don't care what life insurance policies he had. I don't care what possessions he left to his family. Where was his soul? That's let you know. That's got to be top priority. My soul has got to be priority number one. I got to do everything I can do as we started off in the beginning to get closer to the Lord. Why do I got to get closer to the Lord? Because he's the only one that cares about my soul. Husband, wife, children, your job, your doctors, they don't care about your soul. All they do is care about the flesh. Stuff that they can put their hands on. Stuff that they can put in their pocket. They don't care nothing about your soul. That's the truth. You know, sometimes I laugh. Sometimes my wife gets to the point where her soul be hungry. And I do everything I can do. I say, baby, would you want me to hug you? No, that's not it. Because I don't care how much you hugging me and kiss me, it's not going to satisfy my soul.
Right.
And I said, oh, I realize ain't nothing Stephen can do. Ain't nothing I can do. That's the worst feeling. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Ain't nothing I can do. But then I just realized that she gets some way and put her mind on Jesus.
Right.
She get the joy back again.
Yeah.
I say, wow, there you go. You happy? Yeah, yeah. I'm all right now. Then let me know I'm limited. There's only so much that you and I can do in this world. Only one that can satisfy the soul is Jesus. Huh? Only one that can satisfy that emptiness, that vacuum, that void. Only one that can fill that void is the Lord Jesus.
Right.
You don't want to be happy one moment and sad the next.
Right.
You want the Lord to come into your life and bring complete contentment.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on, saints. I want the Lord to speak calmness over that storm that's in my mind. That storm called life that causes you to go to and fro, to be tossed and driven by the wind. I want the Lord to speak to that wind and say, peace be still, right? That's true, saint. Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can do that. Come on. Did you read all of that? Go over to Psalms. Psalms chapter number. Did somebody get James 4 and 8? And then somebody go to get Psalm 73:28. Who has James 4 and 8?
Draw nigh
to Jesus. So why is it so important right now? Everybody's not going to understand this. That's why you can't feed off of what other people say and what other people do.
Right.
You got to get this word in your mind and say, this is a goal of Stephen. This is my goal. What is your goal? My goal is to get close to Jesus.
Right.
And he gave me a promise in this scripture. He said, if I draw nigh to Jesus, he going to do what? He going to draw nigh to me. Huh? Now, that's what the Lord say. I ain't got to worry about whether you help me, whether you encourage me, whether you support me, whether you do this or do that. The Lord said, this is personal. If you do your part, Jesus said, I will do mine. Draw nigh to Jesus, and Jesus will draw nigh to you. Right? That's a good scripture to have in your mind when you tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Whether somebody called Jesus with you, whether somebody prays beside you, Lord, you stand in your word. If I draw nigh to you, you draw nigh to me, right? Every time I say Jesus, Lord, let my soul draw closer to you, right? That's a promise, isn't it? You draw nigh to Jesus, he will do what? What else did he say? Cleanse your hands. Yeah. 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 Purify your heart, you what? You double minded. In other words, make up your mind. Huh? Make up your mind. Make up your mind. This world ain't got nothing to offer you. Make up your mind that the flesh will never be satisfied. Huh? The flesh will never be satisfied. Make up your mind. There's nothing in this world but death. Huh? You still itching out there trying to find, and it ain't there. You ain't no different than Ponce de Leon and Christopher Columbus and all them other explorers. Huh? Trying to find something that ain't there. Looking for the fountain of youth. It ain't there. If it was there, somebody would still be living. Somebody would have drank of that water and they still be living. But I found even the oldest man that walked this earth, he still died. Methuselah lived 900 and something years. But the same plague became him. He still died. Only one avoided death. Who was that one? Jesus. Death tried to hold Jesus down in that grave. Huh? Said we're going to put a big old stone in front of his tomb and surely he can't get out of there. They came to give spices on that body and they said, come and see where he laid at. There goes the grave clothes, but he is not there. Don't you want that to be said about you? I want that to be said about me. Even though you put my body in a cemetery, one day you're going to go over there and I'm not going to be there. I don't care what you put on my tombstone. Jesus is going to write touch of my body, right?
Yes, yes, he is.
How you know that, Elder Scudder? Because he promised. He promised. He promised to rapture me. He said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. That's my promise. That's my hope. That's my expectation. Come on, what Psalms 73? 28, I got to let you go. What is it good for me to do?
Draw near to God.
Isn't that something? Yeah, you see that it's a good thing for you to do this, saints. That's why you can't let the world feed your mind. Because the world wants you to be in misery like they are. Huh? Misery, as you said, the world say, misery love company. Huh? But you got to pull yourself away. Pull yourself away and get on mission. As I said, what is the title of this lesson? Make time for Jesus. Make time. Carve time out of your busy life. And say, Jesus, you are important. I know I got a whole lot of stuff to do, but Jesus, you are number one. Huh? So you got a whole lot of appointments today. Got to go run here and run there. But stop wherever you are and say, Jesus, no matter what I have to do today, you are important. You are number one in my life. I want to get closer and closer to you. Why? Because you gave me a promise. If I draw nigh to you, you will do what? That's truth. And the psalm writer is telling you the same thing.
Yep.
What psalm say?
But it is good for me to draw near to God.
It's a good thing. Keep going.
I have put my trust in the Lord.
Yes.
God, that I may declare all thy.
That's what you're doing when you're testifying. When you get up and it's time for testimony, you're telling what the Lord have done for you. You're telling, I'm trying, I'm learning how to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
I'm learning how to do what? Depend and lean on the Lord.
Right, right.
This thing called life is difficult, saints. I'm trying to tell you, this thing called life is difficult.
Right.
Everybody's looking for answers and they ain't got it. Only one that got the answer for this thing called life is Jesus.
Right.
He's the solution to it all, right?
Yep.
When you get your back up against the wall and you don't know what you're going to do, you got to know that the Lord, you are the solution.
Yeah.
To this problem. You are the answer to this question. And I got to learn how to do what? Trust you.
Right.
Is that what that verse says? It says, draw nigh to the Lord.
It is good for me to draw near to God.
Yes.
I have put my trust in the Lord God.
Uh-huh.
That I may declare all thy works.
That's right. Now let's look at some examples of people that made time for Jesus. Now you take these examples and you say, okay, if they did it and it worked for them, maybe I ought to try it.
Right?
Right? Now remember, these are examples. And you can say, oh, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm trying to tell you, this person did it. And if it worked for them, you need to do it. All right? Go to Daniel 6, 10 through 11. And somebody else get Nehemiah 1 and 4. Daniel 6. 10 through 11. And then Nehemiah 1 and 4. Who got the Daniel one?
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house.
Uh-huh.
And his windows being open and his chamber towards
Jerusalem,
he kneeled upon his knees three times a day.
So that let me know he had a specific time that he was going to say, this belongs to Jesus. Huh?
Yep.
I mean, what did he do these three times a day? He kneeled on his knees.
Right?
Right?
Three times a day and prayed.
And prayed
and gave
thanks. Right? So this is how Daniel made time for Jesus. This is how he did it. And it wasn't something that was done in secret. Because according to verse number 11, what did it say?
Daniel praying and making supplication.
That's right. So the people need to know Jesus is a priority in your life. Huh?
Yes.
Something wrong when your family don't know nothing your schedule.
Right.
Your family start trying to plan stuff, and especially during sacred times.
Yes.
Nobody in my family ever calls me and asks me, do I want to go somewhere on Sunday morning? Because
right.
They know Sunday belongs to Jesus.
Right.
They don't even call me and ask me to go nowhere, no way. No day of the week, most of the time. Because they say he goes to church too much, he don't want to be bothered. I don't. I don't want to be bothered. Jesus is more important than anything else. Right? Huh? Jesus is my priority, right? That's true. Now, so someone get Nehemiah 1 and 4. And then someone else go to Acts 10 and 30.
And it came to pass.
Uh-huh.
When I heard these words.
Uh-huh.
That I sat down and wept.
Yep.
And mourned certain days.
Uh-huh.
And fasted and prayed before the God of heaven.
See how he made time for Jesus?
Yes.
In other words, Nehemiah had received some bad news concerning Jerusalem and concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And how did he respond to that bad news? He said, when I heard this,
right.
Huh?
Yes.
What did he say? When I heard this, I did what? I sat down and I cried.
Right.
Huh? I cried and mourned certain days. And I did what? I also fasted with my crying.
Right.
And I prayed before the God of who?
Heaven.
Yeah, that's right. Next one, what is that? Acts 10 and verse number 30.
And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour.
Uh-huh. So that let me know he made time for Jesus.
Right.
He made time for Jesus. And look at the results. Look at the results.
Yes.
Now remember, the Lord has no respect of person.
Right.
What he did for one, he'll do for the next one.
Yes.
Now what did the Lord do for Daniel? The Lord didn't let them lions eat Daniel. Right? What did the Lord do for Nehemiah? The Lord let Nehemiah build that wall. Y'all don't know, Nehemiah built the wall. He restored broken down walls. Huh? Because the people had a mind to work. He encouraged the folk, and it didn't happen overnight. He did it, he prayed and he cried like that for months until the Lord turned that thing around. Lord bless the king, and came and saw Nehemiah's face. While he was still crying and he said, why is your countenance fallen? And he didn't say, because of this going on in my life. He said, I weep for Jerusalem. I long to see her walls built back up again. Why? Because this is where the Lord rested one time. And I need the Lord to rest back on the temple again, right? That lets me know, saints, we can't be satisfied until somebody come through with the Holy Ghost, right? I need the Lord to rest back on the temple again and fill somebody, right? I gotta let the Lord know, Jesus, I'm longing for what? For somebody to be saved, right? That's the truth, saints. That's the truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why is your countenance falling? Because I want somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not satisfied until somebody come through. Come through with Jesus living down on the inside of them. And then I can rejoice. Then I can say hallelujah. Hallelujah for what? Because you allowed one more soul to cross from death unto life, right? That's the truth. Therefore, I got to keep on fasting. I got to keep on praying. That's the truth, saints. We got to keep on crying out to the Lord till somebody comes through with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
When I see the seekers get discouraged, I want you to be encouraged.
Right.
I want you to be encouraged, my brother. I want you to be encouraged, my sister. Huh? I want you to keep on seeking the Lord with everything inside of you. Don't get sidetracked by this thing called life. Don't get sidetracked by disappointments or discouragements. You got to realize Jesus is more important than anything else you will ever get in this world. If you leave this world without Jesus, you will be a miserable soul. I don't want you to be miserable. I want you to have the same joy, the same peace, the same love that was bestowed upon me. Therefore, I encourage you with everything inside of me. I beseech you by the mercies of God to present your body a living sacrifice, right? Be holy. Do it like Jesus ain't do it. Don't do it like y'all discovered. Do it like Jesus. You gotta get it fixed in your mind. I do the word like this because Jesus said it, right? And whatever he said, I got to say amen to it. Why? Because I want to spend eternity with him. I want to go back with Jesus when he come, right? And anybody want the translation like the Lord say, you got to please Jesus, right? And the only way the Lord get pleasure is when he see his word being performed in your life. I'm encouraging you day in and day out, walk by faith. Walk by faith, saints. I know you're not going to see everything. Walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Walk by faith. Realize the Lord got your best interest at heart. Lord, I cannot see it away. Lord, walk by faith, right? The Lord is calling you to it, right? Said to just live by what? Faith. Walk by faith. See what the Lord has done for you down through the years. Huh? See what the Lord has done for you. Huh? He put witnesses right in your life. Huh? Here you are running, and you didn't even get the virus. Huh? Come on. The naysayers. Naysayers. Folks, you're trying to get to run, ain't got a mind to run, and they tell you, you shouldn't be going around. But look, they got the virus, right? But look at you.
Thank you, Lord.
Look like a hand of grace and mercy is over you. Lord, don't let me walk from up under this. I need to stay up under grace and mercy. Why? Because it's been walking with me. That's what David says, surely goodness and mercy been following me with all. I should be dead. But goodness and mercy follows who? Me, right? I understand that, saints. I'm not no fool. I know it's nobody but the Lord that has kept me. Here I've been in my supervisor's office, and here he is sick, infected with that virus. And the day he stopped coming to work, that day he decided to have a meeting in his office. Closed the door, all of us just sitting in there. And he just talking. And here we are breathing. And who but Jesus? Who but the Lord can see the death angel trying to work, right? I was saying, you need the Lord. You talking about a face mask. You need the Lord Jesus to protect you, right? Ain't nothing like the blood of Jesus. I don't care what vaccine they come up with. I don't care how many feet you stay across from somebody. I don't care how many masks you put on your face. You need the blood, right? I thank the Lord for the blood, right? I thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus. It protects me.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
It keeps me from danger, seen and unseen. As I let you know, we walk by faith.
Right.
I'm not trying to tell you that you shouldn't be cautious. I'm not trying to tell you to go out there and just be running all willy-nilly. That's not what the elders got to tell you. I'm telling you, you need to be on guard when you go out there. I'm telling you, first scripture we read, that the days are evil. Don't you lose sight of what the days are. The days are evil. It's no life out there. Life is in Jesus. The days are evil, saints. We need to stay up under the blood of Jesus as much as we can. Don't let nobody pull us out. Don't let nobody persuade us. Don't let nobody tempt us. Don't let nobody tell you all of this is not necessary. Only ones that tell you stuff like that is those that haven't done it themselves. They don't know nothing about it. Therefore, you can't talk about it if you don't know nothing about it. The first one tell you don't do it, and you reading it in black and white. It's in your word. It's in the scriptures. Then the first thing they say, you ain't got to do all that. First of all, you don't even know the word. You don't even know what the scriptures are saying for me to do. Yet you're going to tell me what thus saith the Lord. When I look at you, I look at someone controlled by sin. Sin is telling you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, right? And I don't want to follow behind you. Now when the Lord done told you the wage of sin is death, you a dead man walking, don't even know it. You on your way to death, right? And don't even know it. Did y'all read the rest of it? Did I give y'all another one? Cornelius, he fasted. Then it said the ninth hour.
And at the ninth hour, he prayed in my house.
Yeah, what was he doing? He just wasn't fasting. He was also praying.
Right. And behold, a man stood before.
Now notice where you saw these examples at. These brothers carved out time in their house.
Right.
Huh? Y'all understand this?
Right.
Now, I didn't say at church. They did it at home.
Right.
And the Lord blessed them at home, right? Don't you want the Lord to bless your home?
Yes.
In other words, you got to make time for Jesus in your house, right?
That's right.
Cut that TV off.
Yep.
Turn that phone off.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Let it just be sacred. Cut the radio off.
Yes.
You say, well, cut the radio off. Let the Lord know I just need some quiet time where I can just communicate with you, Jesus. Tell the Lord everything going on in your life. All your issues, all your concerns. Tell him how great he is. Tell him how wonderful he has been to you.
Yes.
Y'all sing that song, He Has Done Marvelous. Tell the Lord how marvelous he is.
Yes, he is.
I mean, just go down the list. Mm-hmm. Say, Lord, it wasn't nobody but you. Put that sun up. Huh? That sun way up there in that sky.
Yes.
Let him know, Lord, you can let that sun come out the earth, come down on the earth anytime you want to.
Yes.
You can burn this whole earth up anytime you want to.
Yes.
But because you're so marvelous, you keep that sun just a far enough away to heat us up. You realize that sun could cook us. Huh? It could cook us good. You talking about fried chicken. We all be some fried chickens walking around here. You let that sun burn you good enough. But he just keep it away far enough to where the earth don't catch on fire. To where the sea don't stop boiling. But you realize the day is coming. By the word of the Lord. The heavens are going to melt away with a fervent heat. And everything in the earth also, right?
Yeah.
That's the truth. Lord said that sun, the door is going to be opened upon that house. What's going to happen when you open up the door? What's in the house comes out.
Yeah.
What's in the house of the sun? Heat, fire. You can see it. You ain't got to ask nobody about it. Just go up there and look. Say, wonder what that thing is. Just look up there. They tell you. If you would say, I don't believe it, go look at the pictures. The images will tell you. It ain't no light. It's heat. It's fire. It's hot up there, right? That's the truth. You ain't seen the man go there yet. Ain't nobody going to no sun.
No.
Why? Because they can't get there. They say they'll go to the moon. The moon is cool. But they won't go to no sun. Every time a man says, we so smart. We so intelligent. We are evolving. We could do anything. Go to the sun.
Right.
Go walk on the sun there. You and your superhero attitude. Huh? You with your limitless possibilities, right? You don't see a fella talking that like that. We're gonna walk on the moon. No, go walk on the sun. Go walk on the sun. Put a flag on the sun. Put a flag on to bring back some sun dirt. Huh? Say, man, you know you can't do that. Well, I thought you could do anything, right?
Yes.
Look at Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus could walk through the sun.
Yes, he can.
Huh? Look at that fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Them brothers made that heat 10 times hotter than it was.
Yes.
That heat was so hot, those that were on the outside burnt up.
Yes.
But then he threw them in, and look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not even their clothes were burnt up.
Right.
Not a hair on their body was singed.
Yes.
And somebody else was walking in there that they didn't throw in there.
Right.
A man called Jesus, right? Huh?
Yes. Yes.
Look like to me, I need to stick with Jesus then, right? If anybody can take heat, I need to stick with Jesus, right? Anybody can get me out of hell, Jesus can do that, right? He will go right into hell with you and bring you up out of there, right? Come on, keep me moving. My time. What's the next verse I had? Did I give y'all another one? I didn't give y'all another one. Cornelius. All right. Acts 16:25. And I ain't going to be able to finish all of these, but y'all have your notes. And then Acts 8:27. 16:25 and Acts 8:27. And I'm going to close up my book because my time is done. Make time for Jesus. Say, what am I going to learn out of this? What is going to be the takeaway? I need to go home and get a schedule together. Right? Huh? And make sure I don't get too busy that I forget about Jesus. Yes. Acts 16:25 and 8:27.
16:25.
Yes.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed.
Uh-huh. See, time of day don't mean nothing. When the Lord give you a mind to carve out some time, carve it out.
Right.
Huh? Lord, get me up sometimes 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Sister Scott, I tell you, one night I jumped up at 1 o'clock and didn't go to bed till the sun came up. Huh? She had that big old bed by herself. Huh? But the Lord said, get up. It's time for you to get close to me. And Lord knows I just sat there and just was with me and Jesus. Getting deeper and deeper into the word, right? So midnight don't mean nothing to Jesus, right? But at midnight, if the Lord wake you up, what should you be doing? Midnight, Paul and Silas, they did what they prayed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep going. What is that?
They sang praises.
And they did, what else did they do? They sang praises to Jesus. See, the devil be trying to make people get drunk at midnight. You see, all you see is bars open in the middle of the night. You don't see no churches open. You see no churches open in the middle of the night. Because nighttime, you're supposed to be in bed asleep. But the Lord said, a beautiful thing about this salvation and this walk with him, you could take this home with you.
Yes.
You know, as I said, all these examples, these folk did this stuff in the privacy of their home. Yes. Huh? Yes. So what could I do in my home? Paul and Silas did this in jail.
Right.
Huh? Huh? They did this in jail. Yes. What did they do in jail? They prayed and they sang praises.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is that what the verse say? Thank praise. And who else heard? They weren't ashamed of it. They weren't ashamed to let the Lord and the world know that they were praising the Lord Jesus, right? Let's go to what did I say? Acts 8, and I'm going to stop. Rest of it, y'all have
through
the notes.
He arose and went to behold a man of Ethiopian, an eunuch of great authority,
uh-huh,
and his queen,
uh-huh,
the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all
her treasury, yep,
and had come to Jerusalem,
yep,
for his work,
uh-huh,
was returning and sitting in his chariot.
That man was sitting in his car. What was he doing sitting in his car, Elder Scudder? Elder Scudder, what was he doing sitting in his car? He opened up the book.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
See, in other words, he made time for who? Jesus.
Right.
He opened up the book. Sad thing is, he didn't know what he was reading.
Right.
If you read a little bit more, but he still had a mind to open it up and read.
Right.
And look what the Lord did for him. If you read further down in the story, the Lord saw that he desired to understand.
Right.
And the Lord gave Philip a mind to go draw himself close to that brother. And he asked that brother, understandest thou what you read?
Right.
And the eunuch said, how can I unless somebody should guide me?
Right.
That brother picked up that same book from Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus, right?
Right.
That's the truth, saints.
Right.
That's the truth. So in all of our reading, whatever book we read in that scriptures, you ought to be looking to see Jesus.
Right.
Jesus ain't in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, he is. The eunuch was reading Isaiah. Isaiah. Isaiah is Old Testament. And the name Jesus ain't in Isaiah. But Philip had the Holy Ghost. And with the Holy Ghost comes an understanding. What understanding? That Jesus is the Almighty God. And whether I read old or new, whatever it is, when I see it says God is talking about Jesus, right?
That's right.
Picked up that same verse and preached unto him, who? Jesus. So therefore, when I read Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God, I can stand up and say, brother, do you know who that is? In the beginning God, Jehovah. Nah, ain't no Jehovah. Huh? Ah, but he was. Nah, I got the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost revealed unto me that Jehovah is Jesus. So now when I read in the beginning God, I can say in the beginning Jesus. Jesus did what? Created the heaven and the earth. Right? That's the understanding that we have. We can pick up any book. And when it say God, Lord, the Almighty, we can call him by his name. Right? And we can just simply say Jesus. Huh? That's why you can tell somebody, you go and read Psalms 27 or the 23rd Psalm. Go on over to the 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm. Now, when the people read, David was writing. But David did not know Jesus.
No.
But I know Jesus.
Right.
So therefore, when I read the 23rd Psalm, I ain't got to talk like David.
Jesus.
I ain't got to talk like somebody that don't know Jesus.
Right.
I can talk like somebody that knows Jesus is God.
Right.
That Jesus is the Lord.
Right.
So when someone says, read the 23rd Psalm to me, I can say, Jesus is my shepherd. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want, right? Somebody said, that ain't what it's saying. Oh, but you don't understand. Jesus is Lord. God have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, right? That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, right? That Jesus is Lord. So when it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I can simply say, Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not want. When they say, he make it, who is the he? That Jesus making me to do what? Lie down in green pastures. Huh? Was that what that's going to say?
Jesus.
He lays me beside still water. Huh? Well, Jesus, he restores. When that devil weakens you, he beats you up, huh? He hits you, he damages your confidence. He tries to make you feel less than. That's all them folk were trying to do to you in that line, brother. When they come to my old head, you're doing this. They trying to make you feel less than. But Jesus let you know, I still got my eyes on you. Oh, look at it. I still got my eyes on you, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't worry about it, sir. I'll take care of it. That's the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord says, I see you.
Yes, he does.
Jesus does it all, saints. So you should be able to go through all those scriptures and just see Jesus. Nobody but Jesus did. Just go on, put his name right there.
Yes.
Sometimes I feel like when they do these different versions of the Bible, I wish somebody had some apostolic common sense. Would just go on through and just put the Lord's name there. Sometimes I just feel like saying, when y'all got off, y'all be wanting to interpret this and interpret that. Go on and put the Lord's name there.
That's right.
Don't be ashamed.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
People say, oh, God is good. Put that God on down. Put Jesus in there.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed of his name.
Yeah.
It is his name that saved you from your sin.
Yeah.
Where would you be if you didn't have the name Jesus?
Right.
I would yet be in my sin.
Right.
I will yet be in my sin. I didn't get baptized, God.
No.
I got baptized in the name.
Right.
I didn't get the Holy Ghost calling, God.
Right.
I got the Holy Ghost calling on the name Jesus.
Right.
Lord, didn't touch my body saying, God, heal me.
Yeah.
Lord, touch my body because I have respect for his name, right?
Yeah.
Lord, stops cars.
Yeah.
Stops bullets.
Yeah.
Stops viruses. All because of his what? His name. Right? People don't know the name of Jesus. That's why people say, I'm saved. God. I want to say, what kind of salvation do you have then? All that God, where is Jesus? What has Jesus done for you, right? Oh, you know. No, I don't know. What I do know is when I was lost in sin, did not know who God is. When I did not know who God is, he knocked me off my horse. Just like he did so. He showed me a light above the brightness of the sun. I had a mind to say, Lord, who are you? He said, I am Jesus, right? I am who? Jesus. He gave himself a what? A name. He gave himself a name. Therefore, I just say, I thank you, Jesus. Who did it for you? Jesus. Nobody but Jesus touched my body. People say, oh, Mr. Scudder, can you say a prayer over our food? Father, in the name of Jesus. People be looking all up. Will you ask me to pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this food. Just don't touch this food. Touch the minds of the people. Touch the minds of the people in the name of Jesus, right? That's right. You see people getting all itchy. You say, well, you don't want to ask you to say that prayer no more. Don't you have to ask me to say it in the beginning. Lord knew what he was doing. Lord knew what he's doing, saints. Lord bless you. Lord, here you go, Mr. Scott. Here you go. You find out. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody but Jesus did this. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes. That's good. Good. That's what's up. Yeah, that's what's up. I thank you, Jesus. Right? Our folks don't know what to do with it. And when that name hit, they don't say, where we going to go with this? Too much of this Jesus all over the place. Where we going to go with
this. I don't know where you gonna go. But if I were you, I'd get my life right. How are you? I get my life. The Lord, that name turns lights on. It pulled them folk out of the darkness. Folk can't stand that name. That's right. That's why don't. You say, why don't they call you to come over here? Come hang out. I don't want to hear that name, Jesus. You get over and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say, here you go. How long are you going to be here? Good to see you, but it's time for you to go. I know it hit. Amen. Thank Jesus for you all. Keep right on going. Now you see the faces all stretched, all they be playing that boopty boopty music. Then all of a sudden, they say, oh, there's a, we was at a reunion, where you is? And my family, they family. All of them was on the decks, all down in the basement, trying to hide it in orange juice. Trying to hide it in orange juice. Oh, what y'all want to listen to? Y'all want to listen to Jesus. And they just sitting there, God. We still say, all right, we glad to see you all. What time is the thing tomorrow? Y'all not gonna stay, huh? Let's pack you up some food. Let's pack you up some food. All right, yeah, we gonna get on and go. All right, it's good to see you all. Then all of a sudden, as soon as we leave, we hear the music change. He said, don't forget something. The house come back in. They go, y'all all right? Did y'all forget something? And I said, go on, pull it on out. We see you. Pull it on out. You're going to do it. Just do it. But that people come to me all the time. Fellas come and go, excuse my French. Such. I said, look, you ain't bothering me. Just because, don't think I ain't never heard no cuss word. Be you. Do you do it how you do? If that's the only way you can express yourself, cuss it out. Just say everything you got to say. Because you're the one going to look like a fool. Yeah. You're going to say all that cuss words. You're going to see my expressions. Don't even chuckle. Because I ain't going to chuckle with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say.
No.
That fella did with the sign, didn't he? Excuse my friend. Only way he could express himself, he had to have a cuss word come out. Now here you are. That's how you know the devil got control of people. Yeah. Here you are putting up a church sign, and you still feel you got the cuss. But it's in them. I'm going to tell you, do you. You feel you got to let, just do you. No, but I'll be trying to, you're trying to respect me. First of all, you were trying to respect the wrong person. You need to respect yourself.
Right.
If you have no respect for yourself, how am I going to expect you to respect me?
Right.
You think you respect me because you don't cuss at me? You have no respect for yourself. At the end of the day, you using Jesus' breath, not mine. You ain't using my, I ain't putting nothing in your lungs. Jesus put all of that in your lungs. And you going to use his breath to cuss. Go right, you that bold. Who am I, right? You a bold one, you a tough cookie, go right on. You know what I'm, I don't know what you're saying, but that's what you got to do, hey, go right on. Yeah, something to think about, isn't it? I'm done. Elder Scott is done. I'm going to let y'all go. I held y'all longer than I needed to.